Tell me when we're ready. That's ready.
Abdurrahman, you got your book?
No, take one of these.
And let's give Islam one too. Here, can we trim this? Who else needs a book?
Oh,
Risala
or
Jumi? No, Risala. Risala is how we'll do our Arabic. It'll be Arabi and Fiqh. Okay. First of all, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani is the name of the Mu'allif, Musannif. The word Musannif is another word for author, the person who did the Tasnif. And he's considered Malik al-Saghir. This is how good he was and how serious he was about the matter. He was called Malik al-Saghir. And his book is just like, the Risala is just like the Ajrumiyyah in how widespread it is, except of course limited to those studying Maliki Fiqh. But anywhere in North Africa that you go, any Egypt, Sudan, the Khalij, who knows anything about Maliki Fiqh, they're going to know the Risala. Okay? Because it's one of, very early on, he wrote this book. And he wrote it in such a way that actually someone in the village, in the town, asked him to write a book for youth. So this book is meant for youth, right? That opens up every bab of fiqh. Bab means is a chapter. Every chapter of fiqh is discussed in it in a very simple way. The first thing he does is he discusses the ruling on the matter, and then he discusses the preconditions of a matter, then discusses the obligations upon a matter. All right, then the sunan, then the makruhat, what's frowned upon, or the fada'il first, the virtues, less than sunnah, but virtuous. Then the makruhat, then the mubtilat. Mubtilat is what negates the action. Okay, so in fiqh, this is the way fiqh works. The ruling on the action, what the obligatory parts, the highly recommended parts, the virtuous parts, okay, then the frowned upon parts, and then that which negates the action. That's the structure of any mas'ala of fiqh, any bab of fiqh. And he goes into it with sufficient knowledge that you know the structure of every bab, the main parts of every subject, okay, within that bab, but he doesn't go into such details, the fine details. So the way I would put it is that when a person studies this book, what they will know is 75%, right, of the bab, and then the 75% of what we can call high percentage questions, like the high percentage things that come that you come upon in life regarding the matter, and then the other 25%, which is a lot, but it's just not you don't come across it all the time, right? You won't come across this all the time. You can study that in the shuruh, in the explanations or other books of fiqh. Alright, so why don't we start with Evan? Start from Muqaddimatul Musannif, the introduction of the Musannif. Muqaddimatul Musannif. So in this sharh, you're basically going to be reading what's above the line. And the sharh is below the line.
So above?
Yeah. In these literature and these types of books, you have the nas or the metin, which is the original text, then the sharh, the explanation, then the hashia is the explanation of the explanation. And they do have reasons. They have benefits, right? The benefit is that everyone studies this. So the best way to structure, like let's say everyone studies a book, the best way to structure a more detailed book is to take the same book, add the details, and then the hashia will go into more detail and maybe even comparison. So that's the value of it. Okay, go ahead.
So at this point.
Yeah, no, you're reading above the line. Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime salla is past tense. If you say salla, you should also say sallam, because they're both past tense. If you say salli, all right, that's like a dua tense, or is really command tense, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be considered dua or talab. Okay, whenever you have someone talking to someone else in a command tense that's above them, it's either request or dua if it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're going to say salli wa sallim, right? Salli wa sallim. And when you see it without tashkil, if you see sad lam is salli. Sad lam, and then the alif the in the form of the ya is salla. Alright, so salli wa sallim. Good.
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه قال
مصنف قال المصنف
قال المؤلف
مؤلف أوكي
مؤلف بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا
where are you at no don't read below the line okay. just read above the line
oh okay
yeah
the next page.
Above the line is the text below the line is all the sharh
okay الحمد لله الذي ابتدأ الإنسان بنعمته وصوره في الأرحام بحكمته وأبرزه إلى رفقه وما يسره له من رزقه.
Good. All right, stop here. So first thing he begins with Alhamd. Anytime you begin anything that is dhubal, as the Prophet ﷺ said, dhubal, of any import, you have to begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean with the name of Allah? It could be simply saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It could be Alhamdulillah. Any type of name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are written works out there, major written works, that don't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, right? But what's important, what they say is that perhaps the author said it, right? So even if it doesn't begin, in pen it should begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. However, if it doesn't, and for our purposes, a lot of our things, we shouldn't put Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim on something that's going to be, or any of the name of Allah or Quran, on things that'll be mass produced or mass disseminated, because it can go on the ground, can go on the garbage. And what's intended by it is sufficiently that you say it, even if you don't write it. You don't have to write it, you can just say it, right? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Likewise, if people say send you salam in an email, obviously the sort of thing is you respond back, right? But let's say you don't, at least you say it. What's important is that you say it, but you should respond back, because in letter writing they do respond back with the full salam. Alright, so he begins Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi ibtada'a al-insana bi ni'matihi. I'm just going to go over the words without much explanation for now. Alhamdulillah alladhi ibtada'a, initiated or began, al-insana, the human being, bi ni'matihi, with his blessing. What's the opposite of his, or the corollary of his blessing, his ni'mah? This is adl, justice. So the corollary of blessing is justice. So if it's about by justice, then we don't deserve to be created. Alright? There's nothing that we did that deserves a repayment of our being created. So he began us with his ni'mah. Alright? So the default of our existence is we are owed nothing. Right? We are owed nothing. Okay. This is the default situation. وَصَوَّرَهُ التَّصْوِيرُ is designed. He designed us. Alright? So ابتدأ الإنسان, he brought just the idea. You're having trouble finding your passage? Let me see. Okay, so all this is... Okay. Oh, okay. This is going to be a problem because the whole thing is the sharh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just look on with Islam until we get you a copy. You can photocopy this book today, inshallah. Alright? You're going to be giving Staples a lot of business. Okay. You take this and photocopy as much as you can of it, however much money you have in your pocket. And that's your tuition. Okay. All right, Alhamdulillah, الذي ابتدا الانسان, he thought up or initiated the human being, وصوره, like literally fashioned him, في الأرحام, in the womb, okay, بحكمتي, and of course it's angels that we believe fashion the human being in the womb based upon what the destiny of that human being is, بحكمته, with his wisdom. So why does he say here بحكمتي? Because some people have, and there are haves and have nots in the creation. Some people have great forms, some people have lesser forms. So what explains for us that there are some people who have lesser forms, right? There are some people who are born with defects and less beauty and strength than others, and intelligence. That's Allah's hikmah. So he says here, any deficiency that exists in a creation is by his hikmah, right? So you, someone born or created without what other people have, this is attributed to Allah's hikmah. صوره في الأرحام بحكمته وأبرزه إلى رفقه, and he brought him out of the womb, okay, and to his rifq. And rifq means gentleness. Like rifq is something, your rafiq, like in Lion King, is a friend. It's in Swahili, rafiq is a friend. Rafiqi literally means my friend, right? My close friend, rafiq. إِلَى رِفْقِهِ, and what is his rifq in the earth? What is the rifq that Allah gives every baby in the earth? Any guess? The mom. Good. إِلَى رِفْقِهِ, and then all the other things, the mom, the dad, the house, the food. وَمَا يَسَّرَهُ لَهُ مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, and what Allah made easy of rizq, because children and babies receive rizq with no effort. Later on, they have to win their, they have to, they're going to get the same rizq, but they have to work for it, right? وَمَا يَسَّرَهُ, what Allah made easy for him, مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, of his rizq. وَعَلَّمَهُ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَعْلَمْ, and he taught him, right, what he didn't know. عَلَّمَهُ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَعْلَمْ, all right, he taught the human being what he didn't know. Okay, keep reading, Islam. Actually, let's go in this order. You don't have a book?
We're sharing
a book, okay. All right, read from وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَظِيمًا.
وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَظِيمًا.
All right, so وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَظِيمًا. What is فضل? فضل is what you don't deserve or need. This is فضل, right? So ask from Allah, أسألوا الله من فضله, ask Allah from his فضل. فضل is leftovers, right? فضل is leftovers. Like فضلات with a فتحة is what you pass out of your body after eating, okay? So the fadl is something you don't need. You didn't earn it, you don't need it, but Allah gave it to you anyway. And this is the status of the human being, right? We, all of us, were happy in life because of fadl. If Allah only gave us what we need to survive, right, we would have very little. And Allah has those people on the earth, the nomads, right, the super poor. Even the super poor in some countries have it better off than the Bedouin that used to exist. The whole world was filled with nomads, Bedouins, people who just have what they need. So that a human being can realize how much ni'mah we have by looking at those people. And because they have to fulfill that horrible role of having the bare minimum of what human beings can survive on, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah their hisab will be much easier, right? Because they had to be those sort of sacrifices in this life, so that all of us can say, wow, look at what we have. The Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who is belittling his ni'mah, what you have, go look at what other people don't have. And for the Arabs, that was very easy. If you're a city dweller in Arabia, all you have to do is wait until a nomad passes, and you see, no, doesn't have anything, right? No clothes, just one garment or two. No concept of civilization even. No concept of like ambition, upward mobility. That stuff doesn't exist. There's only one job that they have every day: survive. That's it. Every day, and it renews itself. He doesn't even advance to the point that you think, okay, let me use these resources so that I could survive one day and rest the next day. Then I have to restart. No, every day he's restarting the process of survival. So that's basically the idea of fadl, and you should always know that Allah loves to give fadl to his servants. Some people think, oh, Allah should only give us what we need to survive and anything else is excessive. That's not correct at all. the reason people love Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is Allah keeps giving them what they don't need, what is extra. Also, fadl, when it increases, it renders the human being into an oppressor, right? It makes him miserable. And that's why every once in a while, we have to be brought down, right, to the negative, where we are suffering. And suffering clears out all the bad habits and false beliefs about ourselves and the world and others that develop when we have excess. Then, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَظِيمًا وَنَبَّهَهُ بِأَثَارِ صَنْعَتِهِ. نَبَّهَهُ, a tanbih is to point something out to someone. This is called tanbih, to point something out to someone. نَبَّهَهُ, so what did he point him out to? To the existence of Allah. نَبَّهَهُ with what? The first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal uses to point out to a human being of his existence is آثار صنعته, the effects of his creation. The creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is the first thing that the human being can look at, see all around him, that indicates that there's a maker. Right? And we said many times in Aqidah classes that by looking at the creation, you come upon, right? Or, well, let's say, let's go back, because we don't know it's creation yet. Creation involves a creator. So let's just say, by looking at what we would call nature, okay? By looking at the natural world, it indicates to you a number of things. That there's order, there's death, there's life, there's rebirth, okay? There's intelligence, okay? There are systems. Systems indicate intelligence. You cannot find a system somewhere except intelligence is behind it. All these indicators, and also that it's systematic. You don't see clashes, okay? So it indicates to you certain attributes of the Creator, but it's not going to indicate, and that there is a Creator, but it won't indicate to you the Creator's name, His attributes, what He wants from us, or anything about our origins, or anything about our future, right? Only revelation can do that. But what the looking at the natural world should repel shirk. It should repel and make it very clear that idols and other humans are not God. And that's why, all right, there are a people, a sabi'een, that they never received a message. But just by their intellects, they denied paganism and idolatry and the worship of humans, animals, or other things. Okay? And that's what's required. Just, this is an aqidah point. Just by virtue of having a brain, Allah does not accept you. By having a brain, He doesn't expect you, just by intellect, to come to the point that there is Allah, afterlife, salah, saum. No. You're not going to know those things. But He does expect you to know that there is one Creator. Right? You don't even expect it to know His name. Just that there's one Creator and that paganism is false. Just by having an intellect, we are expected to know these things. Right? And we'll be taken to account according to the Maturidiyah. Right? You'll be taken to account and punished if Allah gave you a brain and you still worshipped an idol.
How do you know if there's one and not two?
Hmm?
How do you know that there's one Creator and not two or three?
Well, probably by analogy. Right? By analogy. Because there is no system except that it has to have one chief, right? You can't have, are there two head coaches to any team? Are there two general managers? Are there one active owner? More than one active owner? They're in when you look at management, any human system that's been managed by humans, right? You will never find, right, dual management or two managers. A ship, only have one. A kitchen can only have one chef, right? All of human endeavors are like this, right? So when you see that this earth keeps moving, this winter, now it's spring again, and it's winter, now it's spring again, and that everything fits like a puzzle piece, you realize this whole thing is managed. It can only be one manager. It can't be another manager, okay? But they must reject the pagan gods. This is... Now, once revelation comes, once a prophet comes, now your responsibility goes up a second notch now to accept what that prophet has brought. Okay. And then every new prophet that comes, you're obligated to follow that. So that's the difference between those who have intellect alone and those who have intellect and have received a prophet. Okay, they call that al-aql and al-naql. You have intellect and you also have revelation. All right, Hamza, you got the book?
Yeah.
All right. وَنَبَّهَهُ بِأَثَارِ صَنْعَتِهِ. And then وَأَعْذَرَ إِلَيْهِ.
وَأَعْذَرَ إِلَيْهِ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
الْخِيَرَةِ
مِنْ خَلْقِهِ.
All right, so stop here. So now we just said the natural world, we use our intellect, it should repel shirk and give us the first part of the shahada, which is La ilaha. That not all these false gods are wrong, are false, are meaningless. Okay? But how will you know the attributes of the Maker, His name, all He wants from us? You will never know that except through transmission of a prophet. The prophet has to receive this information from Allah and give it to us. The great Imam al-Sha'rawi gives a metaphor. Okay? He says, if you are outside, or if you are inside, and you get a knock on the door, a systematic knock on the door, okay? Your intellect must tell you that it's not an acorn, right? It's not the wind, because it's systematic, knock on the door. It's not going to be a dog, a raccoon, right? There's got to be a human being, right? It's got to be something of intelligence, something with intelligence. There's only one being that we deal with, intelligence, human beings. Even those are like extinct, the way most people are acting these days. But it's got to be a human being. But can you tell who it is from the knock? No. All you could tell is it's a human being. Unless someone goes out of the door that you trust, someone that you trust, that is sane, etc., goes out of the door, talks to the person, then comes back. That's the example of prophecy. So just by hearing the knock, you know that it's not anything from the natural world. It's not going to be a dog or a cat or a raccoon or the wind. It's going to be a human being, an intelligent human being that is systematic, right? And they're knocking and etc. However, only if a trustworthy source goes out, talks to that knocker and comes back in, right, can you have any information about the person knocking? And that's what he says next. وَأَعْذَرَ إِلَيْهِ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ الْخِيَارَةِ مِنْ خَلْقِ. Which means now he gave him no excuse. Alright? So up to the fact that you're just looking at the natural world, you have a lot of excuses. And the requirement of you is very little. But now that you have وَأَعْذَرَ إِلَيْهِ, he gave him no excuse. From whom? عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ الْخِيَارَةِ مِنْ خَلْقِ. From the tongues of the chosen messengers from his creation. Okay? And in our example, the person who goes outside the door and talks to the one who's knocking and finds out all the information and comes back and tells you, now you have no excuse. Of course, there are a number of conditions. Because let's say we're all sitting in the house and someone's knocking, and then a stranger in the room goes out and comes back. We're not obligated to believe him. We don't know who you are. You could be lying, right? You could be mistaken. You could be, you don't know how to transmit information. So there are a lot of conditions on that person who goes out and comes back in order for us to have to believe him, to be required to believe him. He should be one of us. We should know him inside out. He should be speaking our language. He should have no background of lying, no past history of having other ambitions or personal goals, right? So that is, these are all in Aqidah come as the requirements of prophets, and in a way also the requirements of dua, dawah. Okay? So when for dawah to truly be transmitted to a people, that in a way that Allah Azza wa Jalla considers that they have received the message, they have no excuse, that da'i should have those attributes as well. He should be a known entity to the people. He should be one of them. He should have a good background. And obviously, when it comes to da'wah, it's not going to be one. It'll be a whole generation of people. All right, now what do these prophets do? Wissam, pick it up. Fahada.
Fahada man waffaqahu bi fadlihi wa dhalla man khadalahu bi 'adlihi.
Okay, now guidance and misguidance. Again, we come to these corollary things. Guidance is not something you deserve, right? It is not something a human being deserves. It is something that Allah grants as a gift. Okay? فَهَدَى He guided مَنْ وَفَّقَهُ بِفَضْلِهِ He guided the one whom He gave him tawfiq with His fadl. Okay? وَأَضَلَّ مَنْ خَذَلَهُ بِعَدْلِهِ And He led astray whom He humiliated, خَذَلَهُ abandoned or disgraced بِعَدْلِهِ by His justice. Now here comes a big aqidah question. How are we responsible for our actions if Allah is telling us that He's only the one who guides and misguides? Okay? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us responsible as soon as He, number one, gives us a brain, and we just said that there's a very limited responsibility once Allah gives you a sound brain. That's why those who don't have sound intellects, they're not have no responsibility. If you have a brain, you have some responsibility to negate all false gods and to know that there's one maker. Once you have a prophet now, to the degree that that prophet has educated you, you're now responsible to follow him. So what if we are responsible and we can go to heaven and hell, then how do we answer the question of how Allah says many times in the Quran and in the Hadith that He's the one who guides and He's the one who misguides? The reason being is that we receive the revelation, the news and the revelation and the teachings based on our responses, that Allah will increase us in guidance or misguidance. The guidance is solely from Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? It's solely from Allah Azza wa Jal. But the misguidance is by us if we reject the message and continue to reject the message. And Allah keeps giving us different avenues, the message from different avenues, different people, different ways, different times in our lives, yet we continue to insist on rejecting it, then what does He say here? بِعَدْلِهِ By His justice. So now, by my actions, I have requested to be misguided, right? Because I keep pushing back the message, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you keep pushing it back, I'll help you be misguided. And this is the example of Surah Al-Baqarah, which says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah has sealed their hearts shut. So we should ask a question. How is he going to go to hell? Why should he go to hell if Allah sealed his heart shut? The Sahaba gave Ibn Abbas explained it. He said, Allah didn't seal his heart shut from the first time, nor from the second, nor 10th or 12th. After years of Allah giving this person chance after chance after chance, now this person by his own action, if the heart is like a hand, one rejection, 10 more rejections, 50 rejections, he continues to reject until he locks his own heart, right? He locks his own heart, just as he's blocked the light from reaching the palm of his hand with his own actions, then Allah begins to help him. Allah begins to make the prophetic message ugly in his eyes and make paganism and kufr beautiful in his eyes. We call this istidraj. But Allah doesn't do this from the start. He does this after the person has insisted upon kufr. This is why anytime we get a message and an invitation to the good, we have to accept it. Even if we don't, or if the person is wrong in what they're saying, or rude, or it's not obligatory, we shouldn't utter words of rejection. Because if you continue getting used to repelling those types of invitations to the good, then Allah will one day make you hate them, right? And make it easy. So for example, Imam Malik, a boy came to him, and for some reason, the boy said something strange. And he told Imam Malik, after Asr, they had just prayed Asr, he said, go pray two rakas, right? In the middle of his class. For some reason, some boy just said it. Imam Malik got up and prayed two rakas. Okay? Then the students looked at him, because they know you're not supposed to pray after Asr. Number one. Number two, a majlis of ilm is superior to nafila. But Imam Malik said, Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ رُكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ Surah Al-Mursalat. Right? Towards the end of the surah, Allah says about the kuffar, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ رُكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ Okay? If they're told to pray, they don't pray. They refuse to pray. So he said, I don't want to be like them in any way, shape, or form. And that's more important to avoid being like them than the other two matters, which that it's frowned upon to pray after Asr. Nafila, and that knowledge is superior. So he refused to say no to the boy who told him to go pray two rakas, and he went and did it. All right. So if someone comes and tells us to do something of the good, we should say, bi'idhnillah, that you will. May Allah give me the tawfiq. Don't say I can't or I'm weak. Say no, may Allah make me stronger. This is something Abu al-Hasan al-Shadli said. If someone tells you to do something good, don't say I'm weak. Say may Allah make me stronger. Because it's the same meaning, but one has a good future. The other, it's as if you've locked yourself into a state of weakness. Okay. فَهَدَى مَنْ وَفَقْ. So the guidance is by Allah's fadl, and the misguidance is by our own doing, then Allah assists us. Alright, keep reading. وَيَسَّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Alright, which means here, وَيَسَّرَ, made easy. Who? الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay. He made the easy path, right, the good path, easy for the believers, right? Al-Yusra is the easy path, which is also another name for the path of guidance. Surah Al-Layl speaks about Al-Yusra, right? An easy path. Why? Because the sacred law makes this life and the next life easy. It makes this life and the next life easy by blocking off the major problems that cause, the major things that cause problems, and you could really number them into three. Three or four matters that destroy, really three matters that destroy and make life impossible. Number one, family-related problems. Procreating and interacting with genders in the wrong way. So zina has been made prohibited for us. All right, ikhtilat has been made prohibited for us. Like mingling men and women without reason and cause and all these things, it staves off zina, it protects marriages, okay? So the matters of gender, how genders are handled, okay, protects the family, it establishes marriage in the right way, children are born in the right way. All of these problems, how many problems develop just from this one issue? That this civilization has no guidance on how to handle the opposite genders, right? If you have two opposite, like when you charge a car, you got two opposite forces, there are rules, right? You can't just be playing around with a plus and minus, right? You have to treat them properly. You can't be putting them in the wrong spot. Likewise, the attractive charge between men and women has to have some guidance. That's the first thing. The second thing is intoxicants, right? Second major reason that there are problems in societies has to do with intoxicants. So you close that door off. And number three, riba, interest, is a destructive force in society, right? It elevates certain people who aren't bringing any benefit to society, and it destroys other people who are in need of help. Okay, so interest. So these three things, if you just contemplate with your intellect, these are the three sources of most problems in society. Family, gender and family issues, intoxicants, and then you go into interest, so financial, that financial aspect. Interest and all the trades that are unregulated, with guidance we have them regulated. So it's called Al-Yusra. Keep reading. Okay, first you said, وَشَرَحَ سُدُورَهُمْ لِلذِّكْرَى. شَرَحَ سُدُورَهُمْ. Why is it that people, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, why is it that we see some people, they have fear of God and others don't? Like, why is it that people find it easy to be in Islam and others find it so difficult? Right? The answer is very simple. It's شَرْحُ الصَّدْر. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made their heart love Islam and every aspect of it. And then the Quran mentions it. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who give effort, right? It's kasbi. Kasbi means something that is a gift that you can earn, as opposed to wahbi. Wahbi is something you can't earn. For example, most, you got talents and skills, right? A skill you can learn. You can learn how to build a house. You can learn how to program. But a talent, right, is something that's innate. It's God-given, okay? You can't train someone to it. So there's wahb, it's from Allah directly. You can use it for good or bad, right? It'll be a benefit for you or it'll be a curse. And there's kasb, something you earn. The sharh, as-sadr, is kasbi. By giving effort for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having piety, then Allah will open your heart and you will find yourself loving the deen and every aspect of the deen. I mean, look at us here. All right, it's a beautiful sunny day out. You know, people could be doing a whole bunch of things, but you love these books, right? You just have a love for the deen. What is that? That's just a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't take care of it, we lose it. Right? How many people you've seen, they love the deen, right? but they lost it. They didn't respect this gift that Allah gave them, right? They didn't respect it, and now it's gone, and they're out on the beach doing the zina with their eyes and what else, whatever else they're doing. Okay, so وَشَرَحَ سُدُورَهُمْ لِلذِّكْرَى. So they love every mention of the deen. Alright, and the dhikra is the Qur'an and the revelation in general. فَآمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Now iman billah is of three aspects. Abdul Rahman, اقرأ. فَآمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ.
فَآمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ
نَاطِقِينَ
وَبِقُلُوبِهِمْ وَبِقُلُوبِهِمْ مُخْلِصِينَ وَبِمَا آتَيْتُمْ بِهِ وكتبه على
عاملين
وتعلموا ما علموا.
Alright, stop right here. Alright, فآمنوا بالله. إيمان بالله سبحانه وتعالى. True iman has three manifestations. Iman. If you believe in anything, right, a cause, any cause, if you really believe in it, it has three manifestations. Okay? فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Number one, بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ نَاطِقِينَ. Your tongue will say it. And for us, الشهادة. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Okay? Your tongue will speak it. Number two, وَبِقُلُوبِهِمْ مُخْلِصِينَ. Okay? With their hearts, it's in their heart, the source of sincerity. إخلاص. Right? إخلاص. مُخْلِصِينَ. Sincere. وَبِمَا أَتَتُمْ بِهِ رُسُلُهُ وَكُتُبُهُ عَامِلِينَ. And with their bodies, they act upon it. What is the action? What the book and the messengers have brought. بِمَا أَتَتْهُمْ. Right? What the رُسُلُهُ, the messengers, وَكُتُبُهُ, the holy books, have brought. So this is why deen and iman is connected to knowledge. Because if you want to express your iman, how are you going to express it? You're going to keep saying, I'm a mu'min? No. You need to act upon it. And if you don't have knowledge, then you don't know what to do. Right? So the more knowledge you have, the more stuff you can do. Right? So the more your iman grows. So the more knowledge, the more action, the more action, the more iman. It continues like this. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That's why only people who know have any real fear of Allah. Right? Why? Because they know stuff, they can do stuff. They could take action. And when they take action, their iman increases. Right? But if you have no knowledge, then what? How can you have fear of Allah? Like, what are you going to do? So the more knowledge a person has, the more they could advance their iman. In business, the more money you have, the more money you can make. Right? If you don't have money to start, then you can't have a business to begin with. Right? So it's the same way. And this is why our deen is a deen of knowledge. If you want to advance, and you want to act and prove your iman to Allah Azza wa Jal, and put on display your love for Allah Azza wa Jal, okay? Put on display for Allah to see, you need to do stuff. How are you going to do anything if you don't know anything? So you need to know. Alright, so this is why our deen begins with knowledge, okay, before action. Alright, بِمَا أَتَتُمْ بِهِ رُسُلُ وَكُتُبُهُ عَامِلِينَ. Alright, Islam, top it off. وَتَعَلَّمُوا. Go for وَتَعَلَّمُوا. وَتَعَلَّمُوا.
وَتَعَلَّمُوا مَا عَلَّمَهُمْ.
Good.
وَوَقَافُوا عِنْدَمَا حَدَّ لَهُمْ.
Good.
وَاسْتَغْنَوْا.
Good.
بِمَا أَهْلَ لَهُمْ.
أَحَلَّ
لَهُمْ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ عليهم.
Good. وتعلموا. They learned. Right? ما علمهم. Right? Okay. They studied what the prophets have taught. Alright? They studied. You learned. And when they learned, what did they do? So basically, it's action. The first action, the most valuable action in the sight of Allah, is to stop at what is haram. Is more valuable than to do what is halal. Right? Why? Because the sinners, the hypocrites, and the pious, they all do good deeds. The difference is who can stop himself from doing bad deeds. This is bigger of a deal than to do good. To not do the evil is superior, more superior than anything else, than doing the good. All right, because as Ibn Qayyim said, all of us, all of us do the good. It's easy to do the good. There's social reward for doing the good. There's a social reward in a Muslim community to show up doing the good, okay? Because the people, your family and people around you are going to like you. They're going to say, oh, he's good, right? But the sins is something you can always keep doing in private. The bad thoughts is something no one will know. So the real piety is in stopping, and if we can't stop, okay? There are two rules if you cannot stop doing a wrong. Number one, don't blame destiny and say, it's the qadr of Allah that I keep doing this sin. This is number one thing about this matter is, do not put the issue on destiny. This is kufr billah. You say, oh, I can't stop. This must be the qadr of Allah. You actually can say that for other people. Right? You can say that for other people. You can say, oh, qadr Allah, he has, you know, that's his thing. But for yourself, you can't. Okay? Number two, the door of tawbah. If you cannot be from someone who doesn't sin, right? Then know that everyone commits sins at some level. Be a person of tawbah. If you cannot be purified from sin, don't quit. Rather, be someone who makes tawbah. And Allah loves two types of people. The one who's purified his behavior from committing sins, and he still does wrongs, but very much less than the major wrongs, right? Just some minor wrongs here and there, and without consistency. Alright? And someone who does wrong, but he makes tawbah. Allah loves them both. And Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. So, وَوَقَّفُوا عِنْدَمَا حَدَّ لَهُمْ. And how can you stop at the prohibitions if you don't even know them? Right? So you gotta learn them. وَاسْتَغْنَوْا بِمَا أَحَلَّ لَهُمْ عَمَّا حَرَّمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. What does istaghnaw mean? Istaghnaw means to find sufficiency. Al-ghani, in the Arabic language, the word ghina, does not, rich, does not mean rich. Doesn't mean you have a lot of stuff. It means you have no needs. True wealth is you have no needs, right? So what does that do? That makes all of us have the capacity to be wealthy, right? If true wealth is having no needs, therefore true wealth is inside your heart. There is, that's why there was a king one time, a prince. This is something. This happened apparently many times, and there are a lot of legends similar to the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama. He was a prince, and he was sitting in his palace, and he looked out the window, and he saw a poor man singing, right? And the song was خُبْزٌ وَمَلْحٌ وَزَيْتٌ. So he had some oil, some salt, some bread, and a bowl of water, and sat under a tree, haggard man, right? And he was singing a song and saying, I have bread, I have salt, I have oil, I have water, right? What else does a person need? Whoever isn't thankful for this meal, right, is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he ate from it, and then he ate his full, and then he fell asleep under the tree. And the prince said, this man is happier than me, right? And he realized that happiness is not by having, happiness is by not desiring. So if you're a rich man but you desire more, you're miserable, okay? And if you have very little and you desire nothing, then you're happy. So that's what true happiness is. So wastaghna, be sufficient with what? Bima ahalla lahum means what Allah made halal for them. Amma haram alayhim, to the exception of amma anma haram alayhim, what Allah prohibited. So he's sufficient with what Allah made halal, so that he doesn't have to take what Allah made haram. Okay, and this for us, the halal may be for some people, not that much. Okay, not that much. But and the haram is out there for us to take. So this is part of our discipline to make ourselves happy with the halal than what is haram. There was a man one time, he was too overweight, okay, and he used to love to eat. He used to love to eat. And this guy was like a baller, like one of those types that was going around in young days, clubs, women, all this stuff. And then he changed his life, right? And he got married, settled down, and he used to eat, right? Eating was his thing. Finally, one day, his wife said to him, why do you just love to eat so much? Okay? Don't you love anything else? Have any other hobby except food? He says, I love a lot of things, but this is what's halal. Okay? So for him, that's a ibadah, right? That's good for him. Because in his past, he was doing a lot of other things, but he limited himself to what's halal, right? Even though it's bad to overeat, but for him, it's okay. That's why I say a tyrant, for him to sleep all day is worship. Because when he wakes up, he oppresses people, right? So for him to sleep is good. So for people who grew up in sins, right? Al-istighna. So this really, we haven't touched on the fiqh, it's just the introduction. But if we're going to do the metin properly, we have to go through every letter of it. So that'll be it for lesson one. We'll move quicker, inshallah, for the aqidah element so that we can get straight to the fiqh. But inshallah, there's khair and everything. Any comments or questions? Abdurrahman, you good? This is my old phone, which I only use for the these podcasts or these streams, whatever they're called. Oh, you put it in both? Okay, good. Okay. Wissam, if anyone could put the link for the Risal of Ibn Abi Zayd, the translation of Aisha Biuli, or other people, other Arabic and English, any links that you have, just stick them in there. Right. Alright, good. So if that's it, we'll wrap up here. Let's see if anyone on the stream has any questions.
No, they don't.
What is that?
Khalid.
Where is he?
At work.
Huh?
Being a lawyer.
What, he got a job?
MashaAllah.
Yeah. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.